Metallica!
Here comes a lightning bolt!
Charger fans are witnesses to history!
This is the Lightning Round Podcast with your hosts, Garrett Sisti and Jamie Hoyle.
Go Chargers, go!
What's up, everyone? This is Garrett at Garrett Sisti. Jamie is at Lightning underscore Round, and we are here, a late week edition of the Lightning Round Podcast. We got a lot to talk about today. We got two donations. Let's shout them out and then get in some questions.
So the donations came from a couple of familiar names. The first one came from Marcus Terigian, who is probably our most frequent donor, or our greatest benefactor, as we like to say.
Yep.
Thank you, Marcus, for yet another donation. We appreciate it. And the other one is from somebody I had the chance to meet at a preseason game this year, Aaron Vrabel. Very generous donation. Thank you, Aaron. We really appreciate it. Keep them coming.
Yeah. Thank you, Marcus. Thank you, Aaron. And before we get into our format today, some big news came down early this morning. The Chargers announced today that they are placing Mike Pouncey on IR, and they have signed former Bills interior lineman Ryan Groy. Anthony Lynn said that Feeney will replace Mike Pouncey at center, who will be out the entire 2019 season, and Forrest Lamp will be the new starting left guard.
And it sounds like there's even possibly concern that Mike Pouncey might not return at all.
Yeah.
With the neck injury, he's getting neck surgery, and I think somebody asked Anthony Lynn if Pouncey would come back, and Lynn's response was, right now, we're just glad he's okay.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. So that's a little scary. Hopefully Mike is okay and the surgery goes well and, you know, he can have a normal, healthy life with his family and his kids moving forward. And, you know, obviously when you're talking about any kind of an injury, but especially a neck injury, football is secondary. So hopefully Mike is doing well and he recovers quickly and can have a full recovery, at least to have a normal life. And then now we're on to the guy we all wanted to see on the field, Forrest Lamp. He's going to be on the field.
Yep.
I don't think this is quite how we wanted
it
to happen.
It cost us everything.
Yeah, we, as Michael Peterson from Bolts from the Blue said, he sold his soul to the devil to see Forrest Lamp in the lineup, and the devil didn't say anything about taking Pouncey from us. So, unfortunate circumstances, but maybe some good will come out of it if Forrest plays well and locks down a position, and it gives them some options, you know, for the rest of this year and going into next year.
Yeah, you know, you hope everything's okay with him personally and everything works out. And, you know, neck injuries are obviously scary, and we don't know the severity of it, but he's got to go in and have some surgery. And Lynn wasn't sure if this was career-ending or not, so that's the uncertainty, obviously, isn't very good. But hopefully a speedy recovery. Hopefully he returns, too. But in all honesty, in terms of the play, Mike Pouncey had a really, really good about three-fourths of a 2018 season, kind of tapered off towards the end, and then going into this year, has been pretty inconsistent. He isn't anywhere like he was at the beginning of last year. You obviously don't want him out, but the positive here is, like we mentioned, Lamp is now starting in the lineup, finally. It could have been an easy way. They didn't have to go about it this way. They could have, you know, if they didn't have that big love affair with Michael Schofield or even tried him out at tackle where they're still having issues, Lamb could have gotten the starting lineup. But it took a Mike Pouncey season-ending injury to get him in, and we'll get to see Forrest Lamp for the rest of the year. And we might be able to see Forrest Lamp going into 2020, depending how this year goes and how Pouncey recovers from his neck injury. So there's a lot going on here, and we'll see how it goes going forward.
Yeah, we know the team liked Feeney at center. He saw a lot of time at center during camp and in the preseason and handled himself pretty well there. You know, he's younger than Pouncey. He's in better physical shape in terms of, you know, his body not having the same kind of mileage on it that Pouncey's body had. You know, we talked about Pouncey coming in when they signed him about not wanting to give him more than 2 years because he was banged up and he had missed a lot of time, and who knew what that hip was going to look like in another year or two. Would he be able to hold up? And it turns out he's not holding up, and it's not the hip. But still, now they get a little younger, maybe a little stronger, maybe not quite as athletic at center. And they get younger and stronger at guard. So maybe something good comes out of this, like you said. Maybe they find an answer at left guard. Maybe they find a long-term answer at center. And if Pouncey isn't able to come back, maybe they get some savings out of it too. Not that I'm rooting for him not to come back, but I think if he does not come back, they could probably waive injure him or cut him in some fashion and save $5 or $6 million. So there's an opportunity to save some money there, maybe go fill a hole elsewhere. So you know, obviously you don't want to talk about him not coming back and root for him to not come back, but you know, there could be some developments there that could help the team in the long run if, God forbid, he's not able to continue playing.
Yeah, and you know, we saw the team try out Dan Feeney at center since he was a rookie. There was a lot of problems with him hiking the ball, and it didn't really work out, and he's stuck at left guard. Anthony Lynn talked about how this was kind of the plan when they drafted him, which seemed a little strange in that they haven't even tried it at all until now because they have to. But if they wanted him at center and they wanted Lamp at left guard, they should have tried that a lot earlier. But still, I mean, they did a lot in preseason. They got it through the end of the game against Denver. And Feeney looked pretty good at center throughout the preseason and looked pretty good on Sunday too. So, and Lamp looked really good too. So maybe this is a positive, hopefully.
Yeah, positive, while also, you know, keeping Pouncey in our thoughts and hoping that he recovers and is okay long-term, with or without football.
Yeah, definitely. So since this is a late podcast, we are going to do something a little bit different. That Denver game wasn't pretty. Jamie, you didn't end up watching it, right?
No.
Okay, lucky you.
I did not.
So, so the game was bad, and we thought we'd mix it up a little bit and do questions. We usually do it during the bye week, but we just went on Twitter and said, hey, send us your questions, and we got a lot of questions we'll answer here. But before we get into it, I just want to see, because there was a lot of talk about how, you know, we should be doing a review, and it seems like we're kind of copping out by not doing a review for the Broncos game, but not that we need to explain ourselves, but Jamie and I have been very, very busy with our personal lives, and it's been a lot harder to get on here to record these podcasts, so it's not so much a cop-out. We've just been very, very busy.
Yeah. You know, I'm working a new job, working more hours. I got softball during the week, spending 10 hours a day on Sundays coaching my daughter's softball team and another team. So got a lot going on at home, got a lot going on at work and on the softball field, obviously. And with taking up that much time on Sundays, it's hard to watch the game once, let alone sit down and break it down thoroughly like we normally would and do film study and all that kind of stuff. So good news is for me is softball will be ending. Not that I want softball to end because I enjoy it, but softball will be ending in November, beginning of November. So second half of the season, I'll be back watching the games live, doing more film study. We'll be able to hopefully do more breakdowns and get more in depth. But when the game is bad and when you're this busy and you got stuff going on, sometimes it's hard to make time to watch it as many times as I would want to watch it to give you honest, thorough feedback. Otherwise, I'm kind of half-assing the reviews, and I don't really want to do that either. So
yeah,
that's kind of where we're at.
Right, and we'll still break down the losses. It's not because this one was particularly bad. It's just we didn't have time to go back and watch it as much as we would like to. So we're going to go ahead and answer these questions. We got a bunch of questions from you on Twitter. Appreciate you guys sending questions. If you didn't hear your question, you submitted them, it's probably because another person submitted a question a lot like yours, and we didn't want to double up. So let's go ahead and get right into it. And the first one here is from Timmy Tran Rec. Who at Bolts from the Blue staff would have the best combine performance, Jamie?
Obviously me. No, I'm kidding. Definitely not me. Considering who is still at Bolts from the Blue, I would say probably Michael Peterson based on his athletic history in college, mm-hmm. playing tight end at I think a D2 school, if I'm not mistaken. Probably him. If Posey was still there, I'd say he might be in that discussion too. That'd be my two picks.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go there. Yeah, no, I think you're probably right. I think Peterson, because he played football longer than any of us, he'd probably be the odds-on favorite, but I'll tell you, Jamie and I aren't going out like any bitches, though. We're definitely going to compete. And I'll tell you one thing. I'm taking at least one drill. Like, I might finish top five in all the others and stuff, but I'm definitely going to boost my stock by winning, like, the best broad jump or something, you know? Believe that. I'm winning one of these.
I think I'd probably take the quarterback day.
I'm just throwing in your shorts?
Just throw it, yeah. Not getting hit or anything like that.
No, but no.
I can dodge the brooms. Uh-huh. I can throw the ball deep and put it on somebody. I can hit a guy in stride. So yeah, I'd probably win the quarterback drill. Definitely not the high jump. Definitely not the broad jump. Not the 40 for sure. But yeah, I can throw the ball. I'd probably win the quarterback drill. That's my guess.
That's not even a drill. But you look
quarterback
good doing
day.
It.
Yeah. The quarterback day. Next question is from at a Maxipac 2. Do you guys have a secondary team player in the NFL that you should secretly root for?
A lot of it is revolved around the draft for me because we kind of like plant our flags on some guys and we're high on some guys, low on others. So, of course, we want to end up being right in our analysis. So, two guys that I'm particularly high on recently are Jair Alexander and Lamar Jackson, who a lot of people had a lot lower than I had. And the fact that they're both doing pretty good is nice. But in terms of a secondary team, I'm everything New Orleans, anything and everything. So I'm definitely rooting for the Saints whenever I can. Having Breeze over that quarterback doesn't hurt either. But I'm always rooting for the Saints in the NFC. I'm hoping they're always going to the Super Bowl. You?
In terms of players, I mean, obviously there are guys that we liked in the draft, guys that we want to see pan out. I'd say Alexander's a good one. I'm trying to think of – I don't really follow other teams. I spend all my time on the Chargers. But, you know, teams that I enjoy watching, Saints are fun to watch. The Rams are fun to watch. I know that's taboo, but they're fun to watch, or they can be sometimes.
All right. Next question, at Bobby_runs. He's got a three-parter. I'll throw each one at you. Is Patrick Mahomes or Christian McCaffrey going to win most people their fantasy league? Which one is it?
I'd say probably Mahomes is my guess.
Yeah, no, it's definitely Mahomes. I mean, every fantasy league is kind of skewed towards quarterbacks anyway, and some have crazy high like yardage points, so Mahomes is definitely winning more people leagues than McCaffrey. I agree with you there. Next question, best TV program you've watched in 2019?
A couple shows that I really enjoy. One is Power on Stars. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Really good show.
Yep.
I'm also watching The Mayans, which is the Sons of Anarchy spinoff on FX. And I'm waiting for Better Call Saul to come back. I think that's going to be – I enjoyed the last season. I think that's going to be really good when it comes back.
The Breaking Bad movie's coming out in a couple days.
I know. I can't wait for that.
El Camino, yeah.
I got a feeling both Jesse and Walt survived.
Mm, okay. I really enjoyed the second season of Barry. I thought that was phenomenal. Chernobyl on HBO was a really good limited series. And I know it just won a bunch of awards, so nobody would be surprised by it. But Fleabag was really good, too. Last question here from Bobby Runs. Does Rivers play more than 1 year in powder blue in SoFi Stadium?
I mean, if he signs an extension, he's probably going to wind up signing for 2 years. I'm kind of wondering if he's going to sign that extension. So,
are you saying you think he might retire after this year or re-sign somewhere else?
I think he might retire.
Hmm.
I just find it really strange that there's been no talk basically about his extension, and except for him saying he's cool waiting. And how many, you know, high-end quarterbacks do you know are willing to wait for their payday to come while everybody else gets paid? So I'm just wondering if he's waiting to see how things play out this year. He might not be real happy with how the offensive line has been put together. Just kind of wondering if maybe he's had his fill and he's ready to walk away. He doesn't need the money. He said he doesn't want to play into his 40s, and there doesn't seem to be a rush to re-sign him. So maybe he's already had that conversation with the team, like, hey, if things don't go well this year, maybe I'm going to call it quits, and that's why there's no rush to re-sign him. Just a hunch.
I hear you. I think he's definitely weighing it. I think that's probably why they didn't get anything done. You just want to see how this year kind of plays out and if he wants to return or not. But I think he ends up re-signing. I think this team is close enough that he wants to give it 2 more years. So, you know, I say he plays 2 years in SoFi Stadium. But I think at the beginning of the year, I was more confident that he'd re-sign, but as these games are starting to tick away and the losses are piling up and just how this year is starting to unfold, it's a little bit harder to it's easier to understand why he might hang it up after this year.
Yeah, you got to think he's frustrated with the offensive line. He basically hasn't had a line since like 2009.
Yeah.
So. Next question is from AC Hernandez 17. He says, I love the show, but you and Jamie seem to be in agreement most of the time. Is there anything about the Chargers you vehemently disagree on?
That's a good question, because I can't come up with anything. I think most of our disagreements come during the draft. You know, we kind of go back and forth on some of those. Like, I like players more than you do, and vice versa. I don't think we've ever been on a player where you absolutely hate them and I love them. We haven't got that part. But nothing really comes to mind in terms of the Chargers, though. It just seems like we kind of look at the game through the same lens. We have differing opinions, but nothing that we like really, really disagree on. Can you think of anything?
No, nothing that really stands out. I feel like we have a similar perspective for the most part. So we tend to see things, if not exactly the same way, in a very similar fashion. And maybe that's not the best way for controversial podcast or radio, but it seems to be it seems to be working. So
it's definitely working. I mean, it's definitely not an echo chamber. There are a lot of things that we definitely disagree on. So I don't want to say that we agree on everything, but yeah, I don't know if there's anything that we totally don't see eye to eye on Chargers wise. That's a good question, though. Next question is from at JRudy96. Who are the Chargers going to draft with the 9th pick in the draft this upcoming year?
Based on the way things are going, probably the top running back in the draft. hopefully an offensive tackle. I haven't had a chance to watch any film yet. I haven't seen a whole lot of college football, so
me neither.
I don't really know the specific names at the moment, but you'd hope it's an offensive tackle. Maybe a guard. Maybe you wouldn't take a guard at 9. Hopefully an offensive tackle. But
yeah,
based on their history and the way things are going with Gordon, and you know, would anybody be surprised if they took a running back at number 9?
Surprise? No.
We'd have to go through that whole thing again that we went through with Gordon, talking about how we hated that pick and trading up for it. And oh man, I hope they don't do that.
Now, if they have the 9th overall pick and they pick a running back, the odds are at that spot it'll actually be a good running back this time. So they'll be that, because this class is pretty good. But I agree. I think it's an offensive tackle. And the only name I know, just because I've heard it, is that Iowa tackle Tristan Wirfs, I think his name is. I'll just throw that name out there only because it's the only tackle I know that's coming out this year. That's pretty good.
And they seem to churn out the tackles, so that'd work.
Yeah.
Next question is from at PanicWhistle21. Going forward, do you think the Chargers could still get to 10 wins?
Man, this is so tough. So they sit at 2-3, which means they could only lose 3 more games to get 10 wins. They got to play the Chiefs twice, Green Bay, Minnesota, Chicago. Jacksonville looks better with Minshew. They got to play the Raiders twice, who are looking better than most expected. They already lost the Broncos, and they got to play them again in Denver. Man, that's tough. That's really tough, because the schedule doesn't get that much easier. I mean, it's kind of easy right now for the next couple of games, but there's going to be
saying that, and yet they keep losing.
So I know. Maybe we should stop saying that. It's not like they're taking advantage of it. Do I think they'll win 10 games? You know what? I think 10 wins seems like their ceiling at the moment. And you know what? Yeah, I'll say they finish 10-6.
I think they can. He didn't say, do we think they will? He said, can they, right?
Oh, do you think the Chargers could still get to 10 wins? Yes, they definitely could. Now, let's make it interesting. Do you think they get to 10 wins? Only because they start to get some of the guys back now. Hunter's close to returning. Derwin, Adrian Phillips are on their way.
The offensive line scares the hell out of me, but I think other positions are going to be healthy enough that, I think they'll probably still win 10 games.
Yeah, we both had them with 11 wins. All right, next question, at Ryan Griffiths 9. Have either of you changed your opinion on drafting a big run-stopping defensive tackle like Dexter Lawrence in the first round? After how awful our run D has been so far this season, I would love one, if I'm being honest. That's Ryan's comment, not mine.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. I can read. Yeah. I'm good.
I'm talking about for the listeners that heard me say, I would love one, if I'm honest. Yeah.
All right. No, I haven't, and I will tell you why. Because I think there are opportunities to get big run-stopping defensive tackles later, like in the 3rd and 4th rounds, and I think there's more value in doing it then if you're willing to pull the trigger on that. I just think there are other more important positions to fill, and I mean, their defensive tackles aren't great. I think we've seen some flashes from Jones. We've seen a couple flashes from Tillery. It sounds like he played reasonably well last week, although
Jones
he hasn't been consistent.
Great.
So I think there are some guys there that can fill some holes and make some plays against the run. But I think the bigger problem right now is they have two of the slower, least athletic linebackers in the league playing together in the middle of that defense right now. And they're missing a lot of reads, missing a lot of run fits, missing a lot of tackles. They're just a mess in the middle. And I think they need to get faster and more athletic and more explosive in the middle to make more plays against the run. And I think that's a change that will probably be coming in the next couple of weeks. At least I hope it is. Seems like they're already starting to realize that Thomas Davis was a mistake, and Perriman's constantly banged up, and maybe we'll start seeing more of Tranquil in that Mike spot. So I do think fixing the linebackers will help with the running game, the run defense a little bit. And no, I would not spend a first round pick on a big run stopping defensive tackle, particularly not an early one. But I didn't particularly like taking a defensive tackle late in the first round like they did last year. So to do it early in the first round, I just think it's an overreaction and a reach and a waste of draft resources, in my opinion, regardless of what the run defense looks like right now.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to draft a run-stuffing defensive tackle unless they can get after the quarterback, and Dexter Lawrence cannot. Though he's actually played pretty good this year. He might have 2 sacks, I think, with the Giants. But no, on Dexter Lawrence, absolutely not. Haven't changed my mind on that. Still think you can get a lot of good run-stuffing defensive tackles later on in that draft. And if you listen to any of the draft podcasts, like Jamie mentioned, we didn't want Tillery either, to be honest with you. And they didn't really upgrade their defensive tackle unit as much as you'd like. They elected to re-sign Mebane again, and they just kind of leaned on that development of Justin Jones and Jerry Tillery, and it just isn't enough. And, you know, when you talk about this run defense not being very good, it's because nothing's really changed. It's the same result. They re-signed Mebane, which wasn't working the last 2 years, to 2 more years. Nothing's really changed up the middle. They've got Justin Jones, but as we saw last year, he wasn't that great. He flashed a lot against the Broncos. I'll definitely give him that. And hopefully we see a lot more of that. But Jerry Tillery and Justin Jones just aren't the answer. And so no on Dexter Lawrence, and the run D does not look like it's going to get any better anytime soon.
I agree. I think the run defense could get better if they make some changes at linebacker. I think that would help quite a bit.
Definitely. You mean if they got their more faster, athletic,
better linebackers, football
like
players on the field,
Kaiser White and Drew Tranquil? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the better football players.
It's starting to drive me nuts right now, because last year, the reason why they won so many games is because they were so damn fast. And yet now they're playing the slowest linebackers that are running like they're in quicksand next to each other. They're basically doing the same exact thing, moving in slow motion and making tackles 5 or 6, 7 yards past the line of scrimmage. When you've got fast guys, Kaiser White got an interception already. Thomas Davis and Denzel Perriman have not made any plays. Well, I take that back. I think Perriman had the forced fumble on one of the games. Am I wrong on that? Or was that preseason?
That was preseason.
Oh, well.
Doesn't count.
Okay, then he's got nothing.
He did have one run stop. Who was that against? A couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Was it against the Colts? He had a big run stop.
Yeah, it was like on a third or fourth down, too.
Yeah. So that he made one play.
Okay. All right. I'll give him one.
All right.
I'm not giving Thomas Davis shit.
No, he's been bad, and the coverage is a big issue, too. Not only can they not tackle, but they can't run or cover. And they're both in the middle of the defense blowing coverages. It's painful.
And Tom Ass Davis will catch on soon.
It hasn't already? I'm surprised. next question is from @SuperBolts28. He says, if you guys were GMs, would you start tanking for next draft, or what are the options in trying to get a reliable right tackle and left tackle? These two dudes, Scott and Tevi, are definitely not the answer, and please cut DeZubner and Travis. Thanks, guys.
I think it's too early to start up the tank talk. We can't quite go there now. If they lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers on their third-string quarterback, we might start sniffing around the
tone might change
sure.
a little bit.
Just a little. But they don't have any reliable tackle options. I've got no answers for you. They didn't make any necessary moves in the offseason to accommodate that group that's already thin. And, you know, other than throwing Lamp out there, which they're not going to do now with the Pouncey injury.
They can't.
they can't afford to do that. And, you know, I guess you could sign a guy like Jeremy Parnell, which we've mentioned on the podcast before, but, you know, he's in his 30s. Is that somebody you want to go after? I don't know. I guess it'll get better if and when Russell Okung returns. It kind of seems more like an if he ever returns more than when. But in terms of please cut to Zubner and Travis, that's a phrase we were uttering in 2017. So
done.
Sure.
Cut.
Yeah, go ahead.
Done.
You got no argument from us. We've been saying it since they got Travis Benjamin, really, in 16.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there are no answers at right tackle and left tackle. You know, I've seen people saying they should sign Parnell, like you mentioned. I mean, he's a free agent for a reason. Nobody seems like they're in a rush to sign him, and there are problems at tackle everywhere throughout the league. Everybody's having issues with that right now. So there are no solutions. They don't have anybody aside from trying to fit Pipkins in there and get him more time to see if they can develop him on the fly on the field. There's really no solutions. And they just lost maybe their best solution at right tackle, which was Forrest Lamp, because now he has to play left guard. So they're stuck. And yes, Scott and Tevi are bad. They are not the answer. They are god-awful. Tevi just keeps getting worse. Scott will flash every once in a while and then blow four or five blocks in a row. He's been brutal. And yeah, done. DeZubner and Travis, they're cut. They're gone. Are you happy? Makes
yeah,
me happy.
You don't even have to put that in there. You got no argument from us.
Done deal. That's my first move as a GM, is to cut Travis and Nick.
At Shafee G, why does the defense start so poorly every game? Miami has never led in a game this year until they played the Chargers. The Broncos have not been great, but Flacco... Not great, they didn't win a game. But Flacco looked like the Super Bowl champion quarterback against the Chargers defense in the first half. Why so slow, Jamie? Why?
It's the same story that we see in the first, you know, five or six games every year. They're playing that zone-heavy scheme. Gus is waiting for the zone to work. It's not working, and eventually he's going to have to start making changes. But he's got, you know, Davis and Perriman in the middle of the field missing tackles. They can't cover. He had Faison out there for a while playing corner. He can't cover. He can't run. He can't cut on a dime. He's a mess out there. You got Jenkins missing tackles. So you've got the combination of this soft, conservative zone with no real interest in creating pressure, and a bunch of slow guys in the middle of the defense. They're at a disadvantage, and they're not putting them in the best position to succeed. They're not giving them opportunities to make plays. I mean, it's the same. We talked about this last year through the first four games. That's about when they inserted Adrian Phillips into the dime defense and things started to turn around. And unfortunately, they don't have Adrian to do that with this year. So they've got to figure out another answer. And I got to think it's going to be the linebackers. It almost has to be the linebackers, and it'll probably somehow involve Nasir Adderley, whether it's in nickel and dime defense or back there at free safety. Something's got to give.
We've talked about this. We're all accustomed to it as Charger fans. That's just kind of how it goes. It seems like the Chargers kind of drag their feet through the first quarter, two quarters, and don't make adjustments until they absolutely have to. And that's kind of what we're seeing now. And the thing about Flacco, though, I thought in the first half, it was mostly the Denver running game that was killing the Chargers. I don't know if it was so much Flacco, but still, I mean, Lynn doesn't have this team playing four quarters. It happened last year. Some years we see, you know, the Chargers start out slow and finish fast, and or vice versa. And now we're just kind of seeing them start out slow and then kind of get going a little bit, but not enough to win games. So,
do we think it's fair to say at this point through five games that this is a defense that seems to be reading their own press clippings and believing a little bit too much about what other people are saying about them, as opposed to going out and making things happen?
Could be. I mean, we all see this Jack Boys mentality every morning before the game on Twitter and on Instagram. And, you know, they're always taking pictures and flashing. And I love the confidence and stuff, and that's all great. But I mean, maybe I thought this probably has something to do with it. It seems like, you know, they haven't done shit yet. So hopefully they'd like to earn that, but maybe.
I mean, it almost seems like you've got Bosa and King playing extremely well, and even Hayward playing really well, and everybody just thinks that if they show up, they're going to win. There's just doesn't seem to be a whole lot of focus or determination, just kind of, hey, we're good, we're going to show up, we're going to roll in, we're going to steamroll people, and then it doesn't happen, and they're shell-shocked.
Seems to be.
Next question is from at ChargerTKC. And he says, he actually has, first he says, I wish I wasn't so broke and I could donate to the podcast. Us too.
Yeah, no worries.
And the question is, he says, my question is, Tillery doesn't seem to be really making an impact. How long should it take for an inside defensive lineman to really get adjusted to NFL play? What could be to blame for not having that first rounder impact right now?
Every player's different, obviously, right? But the more I'm watching Tillery, and it seems like he's been a focal point of mine for the last 2-3 games now, just because he seems like he's been invisible on the first watch. But it seems like in college, he would rely on the athleticism, and that made for like an easy day in college. And it's just not cutting it through the start of the season. He's having to rely on his technique, and that just isn't up to par. His size is being used against him right now, and it's hurting the Chargers up front, especially in the run game. It just seems like he's kind of getting bowled over. He's playing a little bit too high, and the speed isn't winning as much as he'd like. And also, you know, I just think it's going to take a little bit longer with Tillery, and I think we got completely spoiled with Derwin James. I don't think there is a first-rounder impact, especially drafting that late in the first round, you know? So I think anybody you would have drafted there probably would have taken a little bit of time, but for Tillery, it's going to take longer than most had expected.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned something that I think is playing a key role in it, and it's his size. You know, most interior defensive linemen in this league are, you know, 6'2", 6'3", tops. They're not overly long. They carry a little bit more bulk. They're harder to move. Tillery is long and lean, and he's, I think, 6'5 or 6'6". He's a giant guy for an interior lineman. And he's having a hard time staying behind his pads, and he's getting thrown around a little bit. Even when he does penetrate, he tends to lose his balance because he's a little bit out of control. The game might be a little bit too fast for him, but I think the big thing is just the technique. He can't win just on athleticism, and the technique isn't good enough to make up for it. So the technique needs to develop. The pad level needs to improve. The balance needs to improve through contact. And, you know, it might be, you know, I said this during the draft process, and it's too early to say this definitively right now, but could also be that, you know, he might be better suited to be playing outside. You know, maybe if the team decides not to bring back Melvin Ingram when his contract is up, maybe you could see Bosa play the Leo and Tillery play the base end position to get Tillery more on the outside and use his length more to his advantage, because that length is definitely a disadvantage inside. It's just taken him too long to unwind and get into offensive linemen. So maybe you could see a move outside at some point. I'm obviously not suggesting that right now as a first round pick. You don't want to start yanking him in and out of positions yet, but just kind of watch that pad level and watch that technique. And as that starts to develop and improve, his play will probably start to develop and improve as well. But right now it's just not there.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
At Glogin TV, despite a strong finish last year, does Lynn's stubbornness with keeping players in, like a Dye last year, Jenkins, Schofield, Benjamin, etc., affect how good of a coach you think he is? I know you and Garrett were high on him, rightfully so, but these decisions are costing them wins right now.
I guess what I'm not sure of here is who's making these calls. Granted, Lynn is the head coach, and it's his decision. It's ultimately his decision, but Is he letting his coordinators make these decisions? Because he's talked about wanting to let his coordinators coordinate and control their room, so to speak, from week to week, so he could focus on the details. So the question for me really is it Lynn that's making these bad decisions? Is it the coordinators, and is Lynn giving his coordinators too much leeway to make these decisions? I'd like to see him start kind of jumping in and making some of these changes himself, and maybe forcing the coordinators to be a little bit more aggressive earlier in games just so they can get out of the gate faster. I'm not ready to close the book on Lynn yet, but there are some game management issues that are concerning. The insistence on sticking with veterans, kind of starting to remind me a little bit of McCoy. So hopefully he breaks that mold here pretty soon. I'm not going to say he's a bad coach, but I'm saying that there are enough red flags popping up that it's something to certainly monitor for the rest of the season to see if he starts changing the way he's handling things.
Right. And for the record, we both were not high on Anthony Lynn at all. When they made the initial hire, we were not a fan of his. And we have praised his development as a coach last season and a lot of the good things he's done. But we did not like him at first. So that's on record. But not because it's going bad now, but because you said we were high on him. We were high on him when he was doing the right thing. But, you know, I think, you know, giving these veteran players tenure this season is hurting their chances of winning, like you mentioned. And I think it definitely affects how good he could be, because right now he's not getting the best players on the field. The question is, who's making those decisions? Is it the coordinators? I got to think that everything runs through Lynn, whether, you know, it's going to be Jenkins a free safety, or if they want to put Lamp in the lineup, or whatever the move may be, yanking Kaiser White out of the lineup when he was good in it, taking Eckler out and putting so much of Gordon in against Denver. That's got to go through Lynn somehow. I mean, they got to at least bring that up to him. So I think he definitely has some blame in it. I don't know who is responsible and who takes all that on, but it's definitely hurting the team right now.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, they've got a lot of things they need to fix, decisions to make, game planning issues that need correcting, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, ultimately he is the head coach, so it falls in his lap, but we just don't know how much of that stuff he's involved in day to day and how much of it he's letting his coordinators decide. But at some point here pretty soon, he's going to have to jump in and start making those calls if he isn't already.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Next question is from @CaliDislocated. And he asks, what do you think of Ken Wisenhunt's and Gus Bradley's performance so far this year?
So for the positives, I thought Ken Wisenhunt's game plan for Austin Eckler early in the year was awesome. I thought he was great in the role that he had Eckler playing, getting him in space, making sure to get him the ball, especially in the passing game. Everything was working. The offense was much more explosive. And then here comes Melvin Gordon, and everything comes to a screeching fucking halt against Denver. The way Gus was lining up Bosa and Ingram on the same side against Indy was beautiful. He had some nice blitz packages at times. But with all that being said, I don't think anyone's happy with how this team is playing or these coordinators. Gus has those strange rotations like we mentioned. Wiz is focused on the wrong guys on offense. That entire drive, the first drive against Denver, they had Thomas Davis and Denzel Perryman playing against each other and next to each other and basically playing against each other to see who would miss the tackle first. And those two are just dead weight on the field together. And then Wiz catering an entire offense to Gordon when he's just returning in-game, having no experience in preseason, just getting some NFL practice for the first time, and you're going to give him a full workload. This is bad. There's a lot of bad stuff, a lot of mismanagement. And, you know, if we're giving him a letter grade, I guess it's a D from me through five games. There's been some flashes of good, but barely.
I think early in the season, like you mentioned, Wiz was doing a pretty good job. He was getting the guys who needed to get the ball in position to make plays. You know, that first game against the Colts, it was all Eckler and Allen and Williams and Henry and Jackson. And they were moving the ball basically at will. They left some points on the field, but they were moving the ball extremely well. And that kind of continued, but then they started losing some of their weapons and they started to struggle. And even still, they had, what, 3-4 touchdowns taken off the board because of penalties on big plays. Huge. I think at least two of them were 50-plus yard plays. So he was putting these guys in a position to succeed. and they were making plays, and then they were shooting themselves in the foot with penalties that were costing them points that would have made his performance, at least in terms of Wiz, would have made his performance look completely different. You know, if they come out of the Houston game with a win, if they come out of Detroit with a win, it's a totally different story,
mm-hmm.
right? So we're talking about Wiz in a completely different light. Where, granted, I didn't see the game last weekend, but you're talking about him saying, well, first four games were great. They had a little bit of trouble working Gordon back in. Maybe they'll figure that out this week. I think the problem is that Wiz has a tendency to – he struggles maximizing his best players at times. And he'll focus on one or two guys and leave other guys out of the game plan. So hopefully he can correct that, because it seems like he has no idea how to involve Eckler and Gordon in the same game plan. It's one or the other, and there's no continuity in what he's doing with those guys, and that's frustrating. With Bradley, I think the zone defense is the big thing. And granted, he's down a lot of his star players, and that's going to have an impact, but that soft zone defense is maddening, and the insistence on sticking with two slow linebackers in the middle of that defense is maddening. Leaving guys like Tranquil and White on the field is maddening, or off the field, excuse me, is maddening. And then you can't get Adderley on the field, despite the fact that they've only got one quote unquote safety in Jenkins on the field at the moment. So lots of concerns. I would say if I was giving them a letter grade, I'd probably be a little bit kinder to Wiz, just because I think he did a pretty good job and didn't have much to show for it in the first four games. So maybe a C+, C plus, somewhere in that range. Bradley, I think, is a little lower because of the personnel decisions and because of that zone defense. So I'm going to give Bradley probably I'll give him a D. I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think it's a good point that a lot of their points got wiped off the board. I mean, it doesn't count. And in retrospect, you know, they ended up losing both those games. But there was a lot of good explosive plays, and they were getting a lot of points on the board, but they were just being wiped off by these awful penalties.
Yeah, I mean, the offense is, for the most part, before last week, the offense was basically moving the ball at will against everybody.
Without Gordon.
Without
just
Gordon.
Say it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We got our last question here. It is from @_4ND_M. Fix that, whatever that is, that you made me read. You got two underscores in your at, huh? Anyway, who are the best players who might leave next season? I.e., are we better off going for it now or getting better picks for next year?
Well, I mean, the players that are... but that could potentially leave after this season are Desmond King, Rivers, obviously his contract is up, Jatavis Brown, trying to think of who else.
Gordon, Adrian Phillips.
Gordon, obviously, Adrian Phillips.
Is Des King a free agent?
His contract is up after this year. This is year four for him, and he was a fifth round pick.
This is King's third year. He was drafted in 17.
So that's a few of the names that could leave. I forgot Hunter Henry, I think. I'd say probably if I was going to pick one of those guys or two of those guys to leave, well, obviously, I think Gordon's probably gone. I think we've all probably come to grips with that. But outside of Gordon, Eckler is going to be a restricted free agent at the end of the year as well. But if you leave Gordon out of the situation, because I think that's kind of a foregone conclusion unless they franchise tag him and they want to go through this whole holdout thing again next year, I think the most likely guys to leave I'd say Jatavis Brown is probably all but gone just based on where the linebacker group is now. And I'd say Hunter Henry, just because of the injuries and the uncertainty of whether or not he's going to stay healthy and can they rely on him and should they pay him and what's it going to cost to keep him. There might be an outside chance that he winds up going somewhere else just because they decide that they don't want to meet his number and he's not willing to come off that number. That probably won't happen, but he's probably the most likely of those big name guys to potentially go somewhere else just based on the injury history and not knowing if they can count on him.
That's a lot of names that could be a free agent in 2020. Gordon, Rivers, Phillips, Eckler's restricted free agent, Hunter Henry. But, you know, that's something we had talked about a couple weeks ago about how Telesco never really moved the needle. It seems like at some point, no matter what, they got to go out all in with, if they've got Phillip Rivers, they got to go all in at some point. I don't think you can start tanking seasons this late in his career. I mean, imagine if they only won like 5 or 6 games. Would you want to come back as Phillip Rivers and re-sign a contract? I don't think so. So, you know, if they end up re-signing Rivers and he's on this roster, they have got to do something. You know, Telesco has, and we mentioned it, he's always kept them good enough, but that's kind of, now the team's in this football purgatory because of it, and there's got to be some significant move coming up soon. So I'm not for getting picks yet. I don't know how bad this team's going to be yet. We all have hope that they're going to turn it around. They were so good last year, but yeah, I'm not all for getting better picks quite yet. I think no. We got to start going and going for it soon.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not in the tank mode yet. I think it's going to take a while for me to get there, just based on the team they have and the opportunity they have. I think they can still pull it together as guys start coming back. So I'm not in that. I'm not in the tank mode. I think they still need to try to win it now while they've still got Rivers, because who knows what could happen if they fall apart and wind up with, you know, a 5 or 6 win season.
Yeah.
And by the way, you were right. King was drafted in 17. I thought it was 16. So he's a free agent after next year.
Oh, yeah. But still a lot of names, especially Rivers being the biggest of them, yep, them all.
Definitely.
All right, guys, that does it for us. Appreciate you guys listening to this late week edition of Lightning Round Podcast. I am at Garrett Sisti on Twitter. Jamie?
@Lightning_Round.
And we will see you next time.
Thanks, everybody.